Dr. Ryan Griffiths, thank you so much for being with us today at SBS Radio's Kurdish program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
In a recent analysis, you focused on five secessionist movements to watch for in 2018, which included Catalonia, for example, New Caledonia and Iraqi Kurdistan. Today, we'd like to focus on the Kurdish issue and the Kurdish hope of becoming an independent state. First of all, what are the criteria for secession, if we can just put it simply?
Well, the main goal for a secessionist movement is to become an internationally recognized sovereign state. And that requires that other states basically bestow recognition on them. And if you don't have that, then you can get into this kind of awkward position like Somaliland or Nagorno-Karabakh or places like that, where they become these de facto but unrecognized states. And that can have very real create material problems for them. So to get recognition by other states then can sort of pave the way for you to join the UN as a general member, with which you get an international legal personality, you can access formal financial aid. There are all sorts of benefits, not just symbolic, to being a recognized state.
And in the Kurdish case, in Iraqi Kurdistan, having had the semi-autonomous region in control of the Kurdistan regional government for almost 30 years now, and given that the Kurds and the Kurdish Peshmerga forces were at the forefront in the fight against IS with the coalition, do you believe that this move by the Kurdistan regional government to go ahead with an independence referendum was a miscalculation or was really unexpected for everyone?
I think it's too early to say if it was a miscalculation. A lot of people are saying that right now, but I think we probably need some more time to make that judgment. But it was certainly a gamble. And I think there was really two choices they had. They could continue with this relationship of semi-autonomy within the larger Iraqi states and then hope for a situation later where they could seek full independence, or they could try to push for it now. Now, a lot of the language coming out of Iraqi Kurdistan in the last few years, particularly coming from the KDP and from Barzani, was that this is the moment for them. And they saw that. They saw this as the moment for them because of the conflict with ISIS and because they thought that they had leverage at this point in time. And that once that conflict was over, that leverage would decrease and that they might have to wait longer before they sought full independence. So it was a gamble. It may well have been a miscalculation, but it's hard to say just yet.
Was it realistic for the Kurds to depend on that hope that just because they were an ally, now the West is going to back them up and let them gain this independence? We're talking about Middle East. We're talking about Kurdish population in neighboring countries. Was it realistic?
It's hard to say. Look, I think with any independence movement, and I do a lot of interviews with a number of movements, there's always an element of wishful thinking. Meaning that there's a bit of optimism. You think that this might be the time and you proceed, you know, with certain tactics. It may be that they got ahead of themselves and that it was a miscalculation, but a lot of the decisions they make, you know, there's not perfect information. So one of the actors that they were appealing to was, of course, the United States. Then they wondered what the administration would do, or the Trump administration would do, how it would respond. And it wasn't clear to anybody how the Trump administration would respond, partly because the policies coming out of the administration aren't so defined. So it was a bit of a gamble. And it may well have been a miscalculation, but it might have gone the other way, where the U.S. could have responded and said, look, we need to try to push for some sort of negotiation. And then they could have been in a better position. I don't think they expected to get particularly positive reaction out of the regional actors there, Iran or Turkey. Although even a couple years ago, the message coming out of the KRG was that they had a bit of an audience with the Turkish government under Erdogan.
For a country or people that want to gain independence, how important was this referendum for independence in Iraqi Kurdistan, despite the backlash that we're seeing at the moment and the setback to this goal, and to use that card in the future?
I think it's important in two ways. It's important symbolically. There's a certain level of symbolism to all of this behavior, whether it's in Kurdistan or or New Caledonia or Catalonia, because the people can rally around it. It helps sort of solidify their commitment, that sort of thing. But in terms of just tactics, to be able to show that they had a referendum and that they had this sort of overwhelmingly positive response, and that might help them in their negotiations vis-a-vis other states, but particularly with the Iraqi state. That doesn't mean that it's always a good thing to do, but at the right time and place, it can be a very important tactic for a new country.
I mean, Iraq, as well as the neighboring countries like Iran and Turkey, are calling for it to be canceled, to be forgotten about. Is that even possible?
That's a good question. I mean, I think they can ask for the KRG to try to say, look, we've canceled it, or we're not going to proceed with the results. But, of course, everybody knows they had it, and they know that they returned an overwhelming yes vote, although there were, of course, abstentions in the vote. So it'll always be out there, and that matters. I think what's more important is by asking them to cancel it, that can be a bit of a blow to the leadership, because it means that, look, we were really pushing forward with this this referendum and what it implied, and now we're gonna stop. We're going to go ahead and say it doesn't matter. And because, of course, reading between the lines, that means that they're afraid to go any further. They realize that they've hit a wall and they need to retreat, retrench, and then maybe wait for some other future moment, or just forget about it entirely. Although I think in this case, they won't forget about it. They may just have to put everything on pause.
For an independent Iraqi Kurdistan, and we're only talking about that part of Kurdistan, what are your expectations from here on? Like, what do you foresee for the region? Because there are analysts and all sorts of analysis are coming out these days and saying they have to now start from square one for the Kurdish people in Iraq particularly. Do you think they've lost everything now?
No, I don't think they've lost everything. They still have an autonomous region within Iraq. Now, it's possible that some of that may be rolled back. You know, there's talk now that the Iraqi state may take over border crossings with some of the external states. So some of it may be rolled back, and it could be completely rolled back, and then the relations that could be reintegrated fully with the Iraqi state. That would be going back to square one. But they've had this relationship of autonomy in recent years, and that is a good thing, I think, from their perspective. So they could have not done this referendum and held on to that and then aimed for what you might call incremental increases, or just to try to hold what they currently have. Instead, they gambled. It may have backfired, but at the moment, it doesn't appear that the Iraqi state is canceling their autonomy relationship or reintegrating them fully into the state. If they tried to do that, I imagine that could raise other problems. You know, it could actually lead to some sort of conflict or greater conflict than we have now. So I don't think it's back to square one.
Dr. Ryan Griffiths, an expert in secession and sovereignty from University of Sydney, we thank you so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.